Pacific Home, Phil Hendry.
I mean, I have no words to explain, you know, what I've done to her.
You're causing a disturbance.
MTV is taking you inside a shore house like you've never seen, full of the hottest, tannest, craziest Guidos.
I'll go along with a lot of things, but not no Judas, not no informant.
You blow it!
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where reality is our bitch. And we take you through the looking glass here, the Alice in Wonderland show of talk radio. We have coming up this hour, Chris Norton. Mr. Norton is a young salesman with a pharmaceutical firm, but he also works in the adult film business and is proposing a calendar. This will be interesting. Because Tiger Woods had 11 mistresses, he is going to come out with, you guessed it.
Yeah, but there's 12 bucks.
We're going to get into that. He's going to propose a calendar based upon Mr. Woods' mistresses. So all of that ahead on our show. You can visit us online tonight at philhendryshow.com if you'd like to watch live streaming video of our show, as well as listen to live streaming audio of the show, and you can see an affiliate page there as well. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and let's welcome on the program here Chris Norton. He's 28 years of age. He is a entrepreneur and right now is working in the film business, most of that adult films, right, Chris?
Yes, sir.
And let me ask you about this Tiger Woods commercial opportunity. One of the things that we thought was interesting when we were, you know, sort of reading the stories that are coming out about Tiger Woods is that a lot of people are saying he's dead with his advertisers, that he is dead with the commercial endorsement line of his business, that he's essentially a pariah, anathema to advertisers. What do you think?
Well, Mr. Henry, I've worked, you know, a long time in marketing, and I've done an awful lot of marketing for different companies and different, I suppose, entities that are involved in trying to push their products, you know, the best way they know how. And Tiger Woods is not dead. I can tell you that right now. You know, he is a young, handsome, 33-year-old man who obviously is very attractive to women.
Attractive to women, did you say?
Yeah, he's very, very attractive to women, and he also is a sports hero. You know, if you look at a man who's a sports hero, and you combine that with the fact that he has a certain charm, I guess, with women, that's the winning combination. I think there's a lot of people that don't like Tiger Woods and want to probably say that he's not going to be, you know, successful in terms of his commercial endorsements. I can tell you right now, working in the marketing field, also, as you mentioned, I do work in adult film, and that also lends itself to my expertise in this, because adult films, while they are very marketable, they're also something that a lot of people would rather not see in some stores, and so you're always fighting that battle. But I can see Tiger Woods, obviously, taking a publicity or public relations hit, but it's not going to be for long.
We've seen the list of the sponsors that have dropped Tiger Woods. When you say that he is going to, in the long run, be okay, what do you base that on?
Well, I base it on a couple of things. First of all, I'm a telemarketer for a major pharmaceutical company in Manhattan Beach, California, and I have to tell you that a lot of the people that I talk to on the phone every day are female, and they are housewives, they are women who work in offices, and so on. And you can use sort of a charm, you know, if you want to call it that. Even when you tell them, you know, I'm single, and you find out they're married, women like to be charmed, you know. So I think women, when they say that Tiger Woods was a, you know, morally, Tiger Woods was repugnant to them, they're not being probably entirely honest about it.
Well, explain that. What do you mean they're not being entirely honest?
Well, my research is found, and this is what we're basing our calendar on.
And just to let people know, you've got a calendar that you're proposing that would have the 11 mistresses, and there's 12 months in the year.
Well, we're going to save the last month of the year, December, for kind of a humorous take on the whole Tiger Woods episode, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But really, based on my experience, not only as a telemarketer, but also because I've worked in the adult film business, I am, you know, for better or for worse, I am very attractive. You know, I've had a lot of married women who will, you know, come up to me and, you know, make a move, and I don't invite it. They just they'll try to make their move with me, you know. And I will tell you that Tiger Woods, at the end of the day, deep down, even the people that criticize him, Tiger Woods is a man that, I gotta tell you, almost every man wants to be.
Every man wants to be rich, you know.
Well, I mean, every man wants to be Tiger Woods. He's rich. He has all of these, you know, girlfriends, women. There's not a man on earth that would not want to have, you know, a piece of that. And by the same token, you have to understand another thing. And this is the part that I think is really where the real money is that women, deep down, are attracted to Tiger Woods. So you have two opposite reactions that are really at play here. And that is that men want to be Tiger Woods, and women are attracted to Tiger Woods to be with him and to, you know, maybe even be, you know, intimate with him, or however you want to put it, you know.
Oh, all right, so, but we're looking at now, Mr. Norton, a public reaction and a commercial reaction that is so so loud, so completely over the top in a lot of ways. People don't like what he's done. He's losing advertisers, and the question would be simply, where in all that noise do you see the reality, in your opinion, that Tiger Woods is actually very much admired and women want to be intimate with him?
Well, I don't think I said intimate.
Yeah, you did. You said intimate, which means that women would like to sleep with him.
Well, I mean, I do believe that, but I don't want people to think that I'm saying, you know, if a woman's married and she sees Tiger Woods, she wants to go to sleep with him, you know. But I'm based on my experience, you know, a lot of married women have wanted to, you know, have made a play for me, but I won't do it, you know.
Well, that's different from saying, though, that they won't.
Well, you have to understand, I work in adult film business, so women are going to find me physically probably more attractive than Tiger Woods, but at the end of the day, they're going to find him attractive, too. And men do want to be. See, that's the reason. That's what I'm banking my commercial expertise on. That Tiger Woods, and I've got a lot of years of experience as a telemarketer, and Tiger Woods isn't hated by people, and Tiger Woods isn't disliked by commercial advertisers. Tiger Woods is admired. Men want mistresses. Women want to be mistresses. That's why so many can appreciate and identify with Tiger Woods.
All right, hold on. I want to give our number out. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Now, you just said something. Women want to be mistresses. Now, you can talk to any woman you want, and I don't care who she is, where she is, or what she's doing. 99.99999% of them would consider being a mistress a degrading thing.
Argument to be made. I think a lot of women in the abstract think that being a mistress is not a something that they would want, not desirable. But in the reality of how it is, women, if they consider the fact that you are paid, you know, you have, you know, money, and the man that you have, he's wealthy, and, you know, if you're lucky, he is physically appealing, or however you want to put it, I think that women are tired, just like men are tired. Look, men would want to be kept by a woman, but that's not going to happen. But women are more likely to be able to have that. It's more likely a woman's going to have the ability to be a mistress. And that's why I think they can be so, you know, they have these opinions, you know, well, no, I don't want to be that, because it's always there for them. If you ask a man and you say to him, do you want to be kept by a woman? Most men say yeah, because they know that's not never going to happen. So there isn't a married woman out there listening right now who, to be perfectly honest with you, Mr. Ray, there's not a married woman out there listening right now who doesn't want to cheat on her husband with another man, especially if that man is as rich as Tiger Woods.
Well, you can't make that statement.
Why can't I?
Well, yeah, there's not a married woman out there that doesn't want to cheat on her man.
If abstract say, I love my husband.
Let me ask you something. You're a single man, right?
I am a single man. That's why I can, you know, I have been with so many married women. I think I have a pretty good insight into the mind of married women. They want to cheat just as much as men do. I mean, you ought to see on a, and I don't mean to talk about myself or anything.
Well, because you've been at adult film screens, I understand that, you know, whatever, but it, women work on a different, they work, there's a different motor running there.
Well, I have to disagree, Mr. Henry, with all due respect. I mean, I have been, you should see on any given night, you know, one of my favorite places is the Rusty Pelican in Manhattan Beach, California. I go there Friday, Saturday night, and there is a lot of married women who are in there who want to, you know, who will try to take, you know, try to make a play for me or take a shot or, you know, kind of roll the dice and see, you know, what gives. And a lot of them are, I mean, I'm not going to do it. I wouldn't want to do it. I mean, I will tell you, yes, I have slept with married women. A lot of them are not, a lot of them are very not, you know, not attractive, and you try to be kind, but they're all trying to make a play for me. So
based upon the fact that a lot of married women hit on you, you're saying that married women would love to be with Tiger Woods.
Yeah. I know it's. And when I say that, I'm not saying that they would necessarily cheat on her husbands, because Tiger Woods, what's the chance that he's going to be in their town, you know, if he's coming through in a personal appearance or something, maybe, you know.
All right. So, Chris, you got this calendar that's coming out. Have you made any contact with Mr. Woods?
Not yet. But, I mean, basically what we're saying is this. Tiger Woods is not dead commercially. Tiger Woods is going to make a lot of money commercially because men do admire him, and now they've got two things to admire him for: the fact that not only is he a great golfer, but also he's you know, he tags, you know, a lot of pretty tasty, you know, I've seen those 11 women are pretty tasty, you know, he tags a lot of tasty, you know, a lot of tasty women, and that women do in their hearts think, God, you know, if I had the shot to be Tiger Woods' mistress, I would not have blown it bad the way these mistresses have blown it. They blew it bad, you know. And most of these other women that probably listen to the show right now, a lot of married women would say I would not have blown it, or not have blown it as bad as they have.
All right, 877, hold on for a second. Chris Norton joining us. The commercial appeal of Tiger Woods, is it dead? No, not at all, because frankly, when all is said and done, men really do admire Tiger Woods for his 11 mistresses and his prowess at golf, and women are attracted to him. So the commercial dollars are not going to dry up anytime soon. Chris Norton joining us, our number 877-876-PHIL. We'll get to your calls coming up next, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
My nose is stuffed up.
L.A. police were able to extinguish most of the fires, but that didn't stop the crowd from growing increasingly rowdy and violent. And then get a load of what they were doing. People were taking pictures of themselves in front of bonfires holding looted stuff. In other words, a dude rips off some shoes, then takes a picture of himself. He takes a picture of himself committing a crime, and he puts it up on YouTube. Whoa, yeah! Our number is 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show on the line. Chris Norton of basically a self-employed telemarketer. I know you're working for a pharmaceutical company right now. Chris, you're talking about Tiger Woods. Has he been hurt commercially? And you're saying absolutely not.
No, sir. I really don't think he has been.
Let's talk about what you've been saying about marriage here. And then we'll get to a phone call here, 877-876-PHIL. You've been talking about marriage I wouldn't say disparaging. Your experience is that you are, you see a lot of women, there are a lot of married women, they hit on you because you're an attractive guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to understand, I think the ideal is different from the reality. The ideal is, you know, Tiger Woods is a bad guy. The reality is, men want to emulate that lie. I mean, they want to have a lot of mistresses. And the reason why I'm saying that, that both men and women want to cheat, is that an institution of marriage is in a lot of ways like slavery. I mean, it's not natural for two people to be together for the rest of their lives, so they cheat. It's natural to cheat. It's why we have all, you know, done it. I mean, not me, because I haven't been married.
You're saying that everyone cheats. I mean, you're going to hear from a lot of married people who say that they are absolutely loyal.
Mr. Henry, the statistics are out, and most men who have been married more than 40 years, you know, cheat. I mean, I can say with certainty that most of the men out there right now, you know, I don't want to say, but I have to say they probably do want to go out on their wives only because they're probably bored or something. I mean, faithful people are not happy ever. I mean,
you don't know that, man.
Well, how long were you married, sir?
You know, I'm a bad example. 9 years.
Okay. I mean, were you not faithful?
No, I was always faithful. Always faithful.
All right. Well, then it's likely you got. I mean, you're not going to say this, but it's likely that your wife got bored with you, or
no, I can't even say that. That's the reality. I mean, the reality of my life is, and I don't really want to talk about my life. You're saying with absolute certainty.
Look, I've never met a faithful couple that's happy unless they're getting some. I have to say this, and I don't want people, but I've never met a faithful couple that's happy unless they're getting some side, you know, what we call, you know, my friends and I call it a side dish. Unless you're getting get a side dish from someone younger and hotter, and that's what Tiger Wood did. He, a younger, hotter woman.
His wife is young and hot, man.
But she's old compared to these other things that he was able to meet, you know. And the only married people who don't cheat are you talk about married people who don't cheat. This again is controversial, but this is one of the reasons why, you know, people do want to talk to me about it. The only married people who don't cheat are generally sort of ugly, or I don't know how to put that.
Well, that's a pretty cruel thing, and that is also.
I'm not trying to be cruel. What I'm saying.
No, that you're also judging what beauty is in the eyes of anybody, and I don't think that that's a possibility. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Chris Norton. Chris is a telemarketer. He's also working in the adult film industry. Here's Matt. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Matt, go ahead.
I feel just wanted
yes.
to make a couple of comments on Mr. Norton's his ideology.
Yes, sir.
I am a married man. I've not been married that long, but close to 6 years. And my wife and I have a brand new baby boy. And you know, just I think he's looking to a warped ideology there of what marriage should be. And so, you know, for me and my wife, we're very committed to one another. And as far as wanting to be talking with, as a man who is pretty well off myself, there's not amount of the money in the world that would make me want to have a lifestyle that I have to live under that kind of pressure.
What I'm saying is, are you saying that you would not want to have, if you had a better handle on it? I mean, Tiger Woods, let's face it, you know, he didn't have his game very tight, but if you had your game tight and you had 11 women, I don't think, in all honesty, even though you may not want to say it on the air because I don't know, you know, maybe your wife's listening, but I don't think in all honesty you'd say you turn your nose up at that, you know? If you had your game tight and you have 11 women, you got 11 mistresses. What exactly is wrong with that picture? You know, I mean, I don't understand that.
Well, let me respond. People's lives at this point become strained, and you start carrying people's emotions, and that's what's wrong with this. You know,
well, the reason why that happens is the Jewish Christian guilt trip, you know. The reason why that happens is because of the Judeo Jewish Christian ethic that puts guilt on your head or on your conscience if you are tagging, you know, if you're hooked up with, you know, 11 tasty women like Tiger Woods was. That's not good, so he better feel guilty about it. And I don't think that's right. And women, too, you know.
I really do get your point of view. Again, I think you're looking through very warped lenses at what marriage relationship is about, and nothing well, of course is going to change your mind about that because you make money doing it. Of course you're going to make money doing something that's going to, you know.
Well, no, I'm just telling you that a lot of married women hit on me, man. That's all I'm trying to tell you, you know, but that's because I'm good looking.
Phil Hendry. 877-876-PHIL. Phil, and we are really—it's a story. It's impossible to get away from, folks. It is the Tiger Woods story, and we're talking with Chris Norton from Manhattan Beach, California, who's in the film business. It's the adult film business, also a telemarketer for a pharmaceutical company in Manhattan Beach, California. And our number 877-876-Phil. We're talking to people and to you, Chris, about Tiger Woods and his commercial viability. Now, I understand that you have said you believe that this is not going to hurt him because deep down, men want to be Tiger Woods.
Well, it's not literally men want to be Tiger Woods. I mean, men want to have the life that Tiger Woods has. You know, they want to have a golfing. You know, I mean, I don't know if you are disagreeing with me just for the sake of it, but it's, I don't think there's a man out there who's going to disagree. They want to have that life. You know?
Well, you just heard a man on the phone saying that he's been married to his wife, and
the guy said he was married for a year. I mean, that just, I'm sorry to say, and I hope he, you know, I hope he breaks the mold, but it ain't going to happen. I mean, let me give you an example of what I'm, if I could give an example.
All right, let me give, our number is 877-876-Phil. Go ahead.
I would dare right now any woman that's listening on your show right now to call in, any married woman, I mean, to call in right now, and I guarantee you that she will want to be unfaithful to her husband after 30 seconds talking to me.
You say you're good looking.
Well, it's got nothing to do with how good looking I am, although I am good looking. But it has to do with how, with my, you know, I've got my game tied, and you know, I don't want to be crude or anything. But what, you know, what we say to Russ Pelican is tagging and bagging. You know, I mean, if your game's tight, you're tagging and bagging on a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and I'm not trying to say anything bad, but I dare any married woman to call your show right now and not want to be unfaithful to her husband after 30 seconds talking to me.
You know what, dude? I think that, you know, maybe you're right. I think that's going to piss off a lot of guys.
Well, but, I mean, the guys have to know, you know, that if a dude's got his game tight, you know, the sheriff's in town. I mean, you got to, it just forced another dude to get his game tight. If my game's tight, another dude's going to get his game tighter.
All right, 877-876-Phil. I don't know whether you get any takers on that, Chris.
No, but I'm just saying, I dare any married woman right now, call me, and I guarantee you that she'll want to be unfaithful to her husband after 30 seconds talking to me.
You know, I've heard a lot of women say that it isn't so much a man's looks, it's his personality. Do you think that your personality is one that agrees with the women you're talking about?
What do you mean, my personality? I mean, you know.
Your personality.
My personality is, here's my personality, and this is what you need, you know. Can I buy you a drink? You know, do you want to dance? That's really a pretty dress. There's not a whole, let me tell you a little bit of a secret, Mr. Henry. There's not a lot of rap that you need to know at the opening of the conversation. I mean, later on, you need to know a little bit about her. But I dare women in your audience call right now. What did you say that number was? What did you say your number was?
Don't worry, Chris. I'll give that. It's 877-876-Phil. Let me go to a phone call here. 877-876-Phil. And we're talking now to Paul in San Antonio, Texas. Paul, how you doing? You're on the air. What's your comment?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good, sir.
Well, my comment is that man that you're talking to online, isn't he?
What?
I said he's a legend in his own mind, isn't he?
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? I mean, I don't know if you're talking to me or you're talking to the host.
I'm talking to you, the one that was a
well, are you in a truck right now, sir? It sounds like you're in an overhaul truck.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. right now your wife is at home and you're out on the road and everything, and you don't want to be Tiger Woods? I mean, are you trying to tell me?
I am happily married. I've got eight grown kids. Well, I've got five grown kids, eight grandkids. I've been married for a number of years, and I have never cheated on my wife.
No, I know that, but don't you feel like you want it? Don't you want to?
Because there's nothing out here that would cause me to lose my wife and all of everything I love.
Yeah, but what if you had a chance to gain something? What if you had a chance to gain a mansion? If you could get a mansion and 11 tasty pieces of tail.
Women are just after his money. That's all it is. If he didn't have that money, he would be in the shape he's in now. That's all it is money.
Can I ask you a question then? I mean, right now, your wife...
Do what?
What do you think about the possibility that your wife may be in the arms of a younger man right now while you're out right...
Don't tell the man that.
I know.
That's
I know
a little insulting.
I know my wife. See, you don't know married women. You've never been married. You don't know nothing about it. So
I understand.
How can you say that? You
because I've tagged. Yes, sir, but I've tagged a lot of married women, and not that I'm proud of that. I'm not proud of that, you know.
Well,
but I have had tagged.
You're all mine, aren't you?
Well, I mean, I don't know what you mean.
You're all mine. You're doing
what
you're
saying?
Talking your God's
what?
Gift to women.
What?
And
are you,
ain't
are
no
you
man
telling
alive
me?
God's gift to women. You don't know what women want. You just think what you do. You're right.
Well, then how come a lot of...
You've lucked up and got you a good job. An adult bookstore. I mean, adult book industry. You must not be very good at that if you've got to work at something else.
No, I'm working at, well...
You're talking about your tagging. You're picking them up in bars. Now, what kind of woman, a married woman, hangs out in the bars to start with?
Well, but you didn't say that. You said... over the Rusty Pelican,
Look, I don't want to give a bad name to the Rusty Pelican. It's a great bar and restaurant.
I'm not giving a bad name. I'm just saying,
it's
a lot of play.
Bar,
okay, maybe
right? It's still a bar.
They have appetizers. They have appetizers, and they have Monday night football specials and appetizers.
Well, it's still
rice.
A bar. The women still get drunk, and you have to be taking up drunk women. So that doesn't tell much about you.
Sir, they serve dirty rice on Monday Night Football.
If you're in a bar picking up drunk women, that don't say very much about you. You're allegedly mind picking up drunk women. So that's
I can tell you they're not.
Kind of man you are.
Yeah, but I can tell you they're not drunk because when I'll hit the Rusty Pelican about 8:30 on a Friday night and immediately they'll
you're
come up to me.
Up women that are out there drunk.
I don't smell. I don't smell.
You're
on their breath.
In your own mind. Mr. Henry, I've enjoyed talking to you, but you...
Thank you, sir.
But I don't smell...
And
sir, I don't smell liquor on their breath or anything. I don't smell liquor on their breath, so I don't think they're drunk or nothing.
What do you do, dump them up or what? That's
what's
the way,
that?
That's the way it sounds. You're talking about you going to a bar picking up married women. That just... what kind of cheap women they are.
Well, sir, all I would say is I... Well, you should ask when you get home. Well, okay, but I'm not saying a Rusty Pelican's not a bar. Has your wife been to a Rusty Pelican?
No, my wife has not. My wife does not go to bars.
They serve dirty rice on Monday night. They have a wiener. They have dirty rice on Monday night for Monday Night Football. They have a wiener specialty.
Well, what are you saying? Is it a restaurant or a bar?
It's not a bar. They have, like I said, they have finger foods. And everything, if you've ever been to Rusty Pelican.
Well, he says it's not like a sports bar. It's still a bar.
What's that? Because they also,
he goes to the bar, picks up drunk women, and just because they're married, he waits till they get drunk. That's the kind of person he is. And if he was any good in the sex industry as he says he is, he wouldn't be working as a telemarketer trying to make extra money.
I have a lot of sexual energy and a lot of sexual. I have a very great high sexual energy, but right now industry.
Or anything else? That's why you're talking. You ain't none. You just you just like the women you pick up.
But But they are also married.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Yes, sir. I appreciate your phone call. Drive carefully out there, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Chris, I just have to move along a little bit with the phone calls here. Here is Kara in Rockford, Illinois. Kara, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Norton. Go ahead, please.
Good evening. I just want to know, what the hell is this wannabe playboy smoking? I would not cheat on my husband after talking to him for 30 seconds, because let me tell you, 30 seconds.
Can I buy you a drink? Can I buy you a Cap Morgan's and Coke, and let's talk about it.
Can you buy me
one? Let's talk a Cap Morgan's and Coke.
I don't drink soda.
Hello, Cap Morgan, that's rum.
Oh, Cap, okay. I'm on my cell phone there. Actually, I don't drink hard liquor. I don't hardly drink. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't do drugs. I don't hang out.
All right. A little light white wine or something, you know. We can sit down. I could take you out, you know, go on a dinner cruise.
Unless you look like my husband or Sean Connery in a cruise, and you got my brand of wine or Scottish it ain't happening, sweetheart.
Well, would you say your brand of scotch? I can buy it. Did you say scotch? Well, I didn't understand what you said.
A Scottish ale, unless you are wearing a kilt and you drink it. It ain't happening.
I can do that. I can do that.
You
That's
could
easy.
Do,
I can
that,
do that,
but it ain't happening.
Can I tell you one thing? And I know the lady's probably going to laugh at this, Mr. Aaron, but I did. I appeared in one film, and it was called Log Toss of the Highlands. It was an adult film, and I don't mean, I'm not going to be crude or anything.
What was it called?
It was called Log Toss of the Highlands, and I did wear a kilt, and there was a barn scene. And see, I proved it right now. This lady's laughing. She's charmed by me. She's very, you know, she's relaxed.
I'm laughing at your ego and your stupidity, okay?
Why do you...
Log Toss of the Highlands.
Yeah, it's based on the Highland Games.
No, I know what those guys do. They throw those big logs.
Yeah, this was an adult film. It's silly, but... See, this lady, she's laughing, she's enjoying my company and everything, and I can do a kilt. I'm like, well, how hard is that? Hello, you know, I could go down to Dunedin, Florida, where they do those kilts and you know, I can do all of that and everything. So,
I'm just letting you back.
Why are you laughing? I mean, right now. Well,
Chris, do you understand this woman's laughing because she thinks your stuff is funny, man? If you met her...
If she met me, she'd be sitting at the table right now. I'd be cracking her up. I'd be buying her drinks in about...
I give it
10 minutes, and she'd be up in my place, you know. See, that's how it starts.
God, in your dreams.
Yes, look at you. You'd be at my table.
This guy is smoking.
If she met me and she didn't end up on my lap, she's probably a lesbian, is all I can say. You know?
Well, the lady is hanging up.
No, she's not. She's still there. Aren't you, lady? Yeah, she is. She's listening now. But
all right, look, thank you very much, Cara, for your call. 877. She just did hang up right now, right there. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, but she didn't hang up right away, is what she said she was going to do. But then she wanted to know what my opinion was. See, my opinion matters to her. It matters to her. It matters to a lot of these, you know, kind of, I don't know, hanky or, I don't know what she looks like. So
don't use any disparaging terms, please, about the women that are calling. You have no idea. Let's go to Joanne in Massachusetts. Joanne, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Norton. Go ahead, please.
How are you guys?
Hi, how you doing?
Entertained, and I guess that's the goal of the show, right? Entertainment? Honestly, I just had a
call. Yeah, that is the goal of the show, and information.
Well,
and,
you know, I'm not
never
a clown.
I'm
not a clown. My purpose here is to tell people that Tiger Woods is not the anathema that a lot of people think he is. He's going to make a lot of money. A lot of men want to be him. A lot of women want to be with him.
Yeah, I know, but that's your opinion. I don't know that that's the fact. Go ahead, ma'am. What was your comment?
I guess my comment is that, you know, there's plenty out there and a population for you, and God bless you. I'm happy I'm not part of it. Frankly, I think...
Well, are you married? Are you married?
17 years, happily, both attractive people.
Right.
And guess what? We have
Hey, and guess what? You call me. Oh, what? I'm sorry. Did that hurt?
You called me.
Yeah, you picked up. No, it's you picked up the phone and called me because you have, like, you know, attraction to my sexuality.
No, let me share with you why I called you.
You haven't attracted my sexual energy. You don't feel my sexuality.
Well, let the lady finish and say what she's going to say.
First of all, I'm attracted to people who have a sense of humor and quick wit, and you're not it. I just want to say that the reality is, you know, you shared a complete relationship in marriage where there's a whole fulfillment, which is great sex, but it's also an intimacy that you haven't felt yet. And I hope
well,
you enjoy
true,
that someday and experience
I,
it.
I have been.
I really,
I've been
I
with
really,
a lot of married women.
I really pity you that based your relationship on entirely on a sexual experience, and I just find it comfortable. I think you're an idiot.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of married women out there that would...
You're an idiot.
A lot of Mary, see, you're really emotionally connected to me because you got to insult me and everything. That means you. You know, the flip side of love is hate.
I
flip
just
side of love
comical.
Is hate.
I find you comical.
Yeah.
So I'm glad
you
have
no,
your whole.
You call me an idiot. That's more than comical.
That's
you're angry.
That's that you do.
Yeah. See, this is psychology. I'm more than comical. She's angry at me. She called me an idiot.
Well, whatever. The lady is not attracted to you.
She called me up.
You must
you know?
Appeal to a really low intellect people that, you know,
yeah,
say you're rumming.
That's why you called.
I'm going to go to bed with you. I just think that's funny.
That's why you called.
Maybe these women are calling, Chris, because they want to put you in your place a little bit.
No.
Who
no.
is this guy you have on the
No, desk? You know, I mean, the thing I'm trying to say is these women will call you because if Tiger Woods, you know, Tiger Woods had 11 of them, okay? What's that about?
Well, they weren't married. They were single women. He was the guy that was married.
How do you know that? We don't
know. Any of us are ignorant of the fact that, you know, opportunity is there and tempting, so we can't say that we're in his shoes and temptation, you know, you're going to turn down every time. I hope morality high ground keeps you from doing that.
Well, let me ask you a question. Like, what are you wearing right now, you know?
I just got back
right
from
now.
A Christmas party. My husband's in bed, and I just walked in the door, and it's...
So you're nude?
Don't ask a question like that.
No, I'm
not
going
to respond to you. You know what's so funny? Is that
what are you wearing right now?
To more intellect and more of a sense of humor, regardless what a guy
women,
looks like.
Really? Really? Women always say that, but they always wind up with the guy... They always wind up with a guy who's got the money and the looks. They always say it like a
second. Well, you got to watch the language. Watch the language. All right. Thank you. Take a break. I got to take a break anyway. Thank you very much, Joanne. 877-876-PHIL.
See, that woman, do you see how angry she was? That proves that she's attracted to me because her anger means that she's connected to me on a...
Yeah, okay. Hold on for just a second, Chris. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Chris Norton joins us. Why would 11 women be with Tiger Woods? Why? Because women want to be with Tiger Woods, and men want to be Tiger Woods, and that's why he, commercially, is probably going to make a lot of money down the road. Chris Norton joins us saying, most recently, what was it? He could, any married woman that calls up in 30 seconds, he'd have her wanting to go to bed with him. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry.
That's the flip side of love, hey.
Phil and
877-876-PHIL. Let's get to a phone call here for Chris Norton as we continue to talk about the commercial viability of Tiger Woods. Is he really all that repulsive to advertisers? He's lost a lot of advertisers, but Mr. Norton says that the fact that he's got 11 mistresses makes him attractive to men and women. Here is Chrisalyn. Chrisalyn, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Norton. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing great. I've been with my now husband we've been married for a year, but we've been together for six years. And, I'm listening to some of these male callers and I honestly can't believe what I'm hearing.
Are you talking about the gentleman we have on the line? Mr. Norton is with us. He's the guest.
Well, let me ask the lady a question. Like, what is it about what I'm saying, ma'am, that you don't find believable? I mean, I'm trying to deal in the world of reality as opposed to what we want people to believe about us, you know? Sure, we want people to believe we're faithful and everything else, but I'm, you know,
Mr.
I've been
Norton,
with far
from... Are you married? Are you married?
No, I'm not, you know, and I know, but see, I've been with far too many married women to believe that marriage is... You know, I mean, I get a lot of these women making a play for me, you know, on Friday night.
First of all, I know that you're a backdoor man, and you probably are married.
No, ma'am, I'm not married. I'd tell you if I was. I'm not married.
Are you married, Chris? Seriously, are you married?
I am.
No, I am not married.
I've been married for about a year and 2 months.
What about Mr. Norton? Mr. Norton, are you married?
You mean Mr. Norton?
Your name, her name is Chrislyn, your name is Chris, and she got confused. She thought it was...
Her name isn't Chris. It's Chrislyn.
I know. Are you, Chris, are you married?
I am not married. I would not be married. Why would I, you know, why buy a cow and milk so cheap, you know? Have you ever heard that one?
Let me tell you that Tiger fell from grace. We all know that. There's no person that can be perfect.
There's going to be a large payday for Tiger Woods. I can trust me on that, Chrislyn.
I absolutely agree with you. And it's
there you go.
It's a travesty.
Well, I don't think so. I think he's going to have a very, you know, it'll be fun for him to have a lot of women.
Phil Hendry.
Is the caller still there?
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm here. My name's Jane Velez Mitchell. I hope you don't mind if I...
I listened recently, actually a few minutes ago,
Rick,
to...
Rick, what if someone said to you, Rick Sanchez...
Nobody fell asleep. Nobody had an argument. Nobody had a fight.
I'm a big boy.
That's very tough to swallow.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here at the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, with truth being our bitch on this show, and that's about it. And there's all kinds of ways at getting at the truth. That's right. Don't forget, on our website every night, you can look at a live streaming video of our show. You just go over to philhendryshow.com. That is philhendryshow.com, and you can watch the... As I mentioned, live streaming video of the show, and you can also hear the audio. It streams live, as well as available downloads on our website of all of the shows that we are doing. And tonight, as every night, you can comment along with us on the radio show by going to twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show, twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. And if you want to just follow my own personal one, it's twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. Then we have...
Oh, come on, will you, man? How many of these are you going to do?
Yeah. All right, I'm sorry, okay?
Get 15 different sites. Nobody can write them down.
I got it, all right? You can talk to me about this off the air, if you don't mind. NTSB errant pilots were using laptops. Story that we covered briefly for you earlier in the show. We're going to bring on Art Griego. Mr. Griego is a retired charter pilot, actually. Some 25 years flying charter flights and all of these passenger flights. And Art joins us from Santa Monica, California tonight. Art, this is a story that you and I have talked about pilots and safety and air safety for a long time. This is an interesting story. And do you buy the explanation that these guys were on their laptops?
I believe it, Phil. I don't think there's any doubt that these men are telling the truth. When you get in front of the NTSB, you get in front of the FAA, you tell the truth. I don't think there's a pilot out there that doesn't know that, because sooner or later they're going to find the truth, and the truth will be known by the investigators. It's better that you go in and tell them what you were doing. These guys were on their laptop computers. I don't think that's all they... I don't think there's any more needs to be said, whether they were truthful about what it was they were accessing. The NTSB doesn't want to know. The FAA doesn't want to know. They say that they were accessing, some kind of a flight manual.
Yeah, it was work-related data.
Or some kind of work-related data, as you say. I doubt seriously if that was the case, having been a pilot myself. But this never needed to happen, and that's the point that I think your audience needs to understand. This never needed to happen. But it happened because pilots and even passengers are being harassed in many ways by the airlines themselves, by these federal agencies. And here we go again. Barack Obama's big federal government, these federal agencies that are willing to harass a man out of his job, frighten the public, and none of this needed to happen.
All right, let's get into that. Why do you say this story, these Northwest pilots, who told federal investigators, by the way, they were going over schedules, overshot their airport by 150 miles, Minneapolis, St. Paul. What do you mean by it didn't need to happen?
Well, first of all, the passengers didn't know that this had happened because pilots are aware and passengers are aware, and there's an unspoken agreement between pilots, between the flight crew and the passengers. The unspoken agreement that's been in effect for decades is the passengers don't want to know, and they don't want you to tell them. They don't want the truth. They are comfortable in knowing that you're flying the plane and whatever's happening is going to happen. They don't want to know about it. And that I think that's a normal reaction.
They don't want to know about it?
Passengers don't want to know what's happening in the cockpit because we are dealing with, on any given flight, we could be dealing with a number of situations that are going to do nothing more than scare the passengers, alarm them, and the passengers know that. So they don't want to know. And so when these two pilots discovered that they'd overshot their airline, or overshot the airport, they simply harnessed up and redirected the aircraft to Minneapolis, St. Paul. The passengers were none the wiser. The flight attendants are obviously going to, they know to keep their mouths shut. And by that, I mean, that sounds a little harsh.
Yes, it does. Sounds like almost they're going to be threatened or something.
No. They just know to keep their mouths shut. And the pilots landed the plane. Now, what happened was the airline, because Northwest Airline has had some public relations problems in the past with drinking pilots and with the Muslims that have been kicked off the plane because they're talking about blowing up half the world, or I don't know, there was a bomb threat or something.
No, those were Muslims that were taken off the plane because there was a concern by a fellow passenger, and it turned out that there was no threat. And I guess what you're talking about, the bad publicity?
Yeah, well, there was a lot of bad publicity around that because people thought that the Northwest Corporation was a bigoted organization that threw anybody with a turban, threw them right out onto the tarmac. And so they didn't need that. And what they wanted to do was make sure that they didn't get any bad publicity, so they went public. And in so doing, ratted out their pilots and ratted out their flight crew. And I think it's unfortunate because then...
Let's hold on for a minute. The pilots were missing, but the NTSB, the various flight air traffic control centers were trying to hail these guys long before they discovered there was a problem.
That doesn't make any difference. If they weren't, what I'm talking about is going public with this. One of the things that pilots know, and even the people that run Northwest Airlines know this, as we said, the passengers don't want to know what's going on in the cockpit, because if you are, for instance, wrestling with a blown engine, or you've run out of fuel because you were on your laptop too long, or...
Have you ever heard of a plane running out of fuel because a guy was on his laptop too long?
Well, I can tell you this much. If a plane is to run out of fuel because you overshoot your airport, you are not to blame as a pilot. This, again, is the airline. Because of the bad pay, you automatically are not getting paid as much as you used to, so your performance is going to drop to that level of pay. This is something that any worker understands.
Wait. Run that by me again. If you're not making as much money...
If you're not making as much money as you used to, and we all know that pilots, the salary of pilots has gone way down, the instinct, and it's a subconscious instinct, is to drop your performance level. So if you're making, at one time, $200,000 a year, and now you're making $30 an hour, you're going to go from being a $200,000 a year pilot all the way down to a $30 an hour pilot, and that means you're going to be overshooting some airports, you're going to have your laptop open, and the airlines know this, and yet they don't tell the public about that. What they tell the public about is the guy overshooting his aircraft or his airport.
We're talking with Art Griego, a former commercial pilot, on the Phil Hendry Show here this evening, a number 1-877-876-PHIL. Let's get back to this thing about the passengers not wanting the truth. That sounds extremely subjective.
The passengers don't want to know the truth, because if you have an engine out or your co-pilot has passed out or is incapacitated, the passengers don't like honesty. They always want to feel secure. And this happens all the time, and we're not going to tell them. I mean, I'll give you an example. I overshot a flight, a charter flight from Chicago to Tampa, Florida, and I overshot it by more than 150 miles. We were well past the Keys when I discovered that we had overshot the airport.
Why did you overshoot the airport?
I don't want to get into that right now, but I mean, there was a reason. But the point I'm making is we overshot the airport at Tampa by a good 400, 500 miles. I turned it around, I landed it at Tampa, and there wasn't one of those people getting off the plane that said to me, oh, we overshot the airport. Passengers don't know what overshooting an airport is. They're not even sure if airplanes fly in a straight line. I mean, literally, you can ask a passenger, is this plane going from Chicago to Tampa in a straight line? Is it going to zigzag? Will we go north 1,000 miles and then head south? They won't know. And so you can fly that way, and people are not going to ask any questions. And so the airline is who I blame here.
That's a heck of a statement there, Art.
Well, Phil, I'm telling you, I flew for 20 years. I flew south, past Tampa, almost to the Keys. I flew an aircraft from Los Angeles to Honolulu. And we had overshot the Honolulu airport by at least 500 miles. I was dead out over the Pacific Ocean, and there wasn't any airstrip nearby. I had to turn around and get in on fumes, basically. We were almost out of gas. And when we landed, there wasn't one passenger that said anything out of the ordinary other than, thank you. And I said, well, thank you for flying with us. And that's it.
You almost ran out of fuel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you're not going to get on, what am I going to get on the horn and say, excuse me, folks, we're almost running out of gas because I overshot the airport. So would you please get into your seatbelts? And you don't do that. No real pilot does that.
All right, Art, but we'll be back here after a break, but you have to answer this question for me. If a guy overshoots the airport, you're saying no big deal, just keep it quiet. The passengers don't need to know.
The passengers don't want to know. They don't want you to come on the thing and say, oh, you know what, I'm 150 miles past the target airport because I was on Facebook.
On Facebook?
A lot of guys are, yeah, because of the salary situation. And because I'm not, do you really want me to get on the horn and say to people, I overshot the airport because I don't make the money I used to, so I'm flying at the salary grade that I'm at right now, which means I'll overshoot a lot of airports and I may run out of fuel. Do you really want me to do it? I don't think you do.
All right, we'll be back here with Art Griego. Our number 877-876-PHIL as we talk about the Northwest pilots who overshot Minneapolis-St. Paul by 150 miles. It came out that they were on their laptop computers accessing some kind of flight data or information, company information. Is that the case, or were they doing something else, like being on Facebook? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming back in a moment.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
On the line with me here is Art Griego, retired pilot. We're talking about Northwest Airlines and the Northwest incident with two pilots overshooting Minneapolis-St. Paul. The news today that they were on their laptops and that they had overshot the airport because they were distracted. And you were saying, Art, that the passengers don't want honesty. And it's a very interesting thing that you're saying.
Look, Phil, to tell you this, you have to lie and keep your passengers in the dark on a lot of things. One of the things we refer to passengers sometimes as mushrooms. And the reason why we refer to passengers as mushrooms is that we feed them a lot of BS and we keep them in the dark. And that sounds bad, but the average passenger gets it. See, if our passengers, we want them to keep coming back to the airline. You understand?
And yeah, I understand that.
So if we tell them Evelyn to some kind of a seizure, he had swallowed his own tongue. And on that very same flight, we'd lost an engine in a thunderstorm. You want me going on the horn and saying, hey, ladies and gentlemen, our co-pilot just swallowed his tongue, and we're on our way into a lightning storm. Brother.
I'm not saying that you should do that. But the statement that passengers want you to lie...
Yes, lie. As if they asked me directly, are you guys okay, I'd say never better. Even with a man swallowing his own tongue next to me. You've got to understand, Phil, how it works. I was in my youth. I flew drunk. Now, this was many, many years ago. But I sobered up while we were in the air. Am I supposed to go on to talk back and tell everybody I was doing shots minutes before we took off?
Why would you do that? Why were you doing shots before you took off?
A guy's bachelor party. It got out of control, and we were in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And those people, if you've ever been to Argentina, have you been to Argentina?
No.
Well, there's no way I can explain to you how it's impossible. It's impossible once you go to a bachelor party in Argentina to fly sober.
Well, I got to figure that one. All right, here is Elaine in Rockford, Illinois. Elaine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
I think this person is absurd, what he's saying, and using all of these unfounded excuses as to why these pilots were negligent. The average passenger is a reasonably intelligent person. No, I don't want to know about a blown engine or something that's going to be tragic.
Exactly.
But I do want to know if I'm not going to arrive at my destination on time because of somebody's negligence, not somebody's unforeseen circumstance, but negligence, and that's what it is.
That doesn't make any sense, what you're saying.
What you're saying makes no sense.
You're talking about
underpaid and all these other things. And
exactly.
You know,
we are underpaid.
I'm not going to get on a plane, and I can observe people. I'm old enough and been around long enough to see that somebody is intoxicated. You know, the pilots are standing there.
See the pilot. The door's closed. How do you see the pilot?
When you walk on the plane, the pilots are standing there.
No way. Not always. Sometimes we're going through our flight check. So we're not always standing there. Now, the other thing you need to remember is this. If I got on the horn and I said, folks, we've overshot the airport because I was on Facebook, are you going to want to know that? No. Because you're going to think I'm mentally retarded.
I wonder if you have an unaccompanied minor on that plane and somebody is waiting for them at their destination. You need to tell these people that you have created a problem and it's not an unforeseen circumstance. You're responsible. You have an ethical responsibility to all passengers on board and
then
the flight crew.
Then panic
to
would
get
break.
Them to
then
their
panic,
destination on
panic
time.
Breaks out. Panic will break out.
What do you mean panic will break out?
If I do what this lady wants me to do. If you start talking about we're going to crash or say something just totally just insane to alarm the passengers, but it's insane for me to say we overshot the airport because
I was checking on my messages on Facebook. You don't want me to do
That's negligence. You need to tell the passenger you're the kind of passenger who's going to panic, Elaine.
I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Elaine, but I can tell by the profile you're the kind of passenger that will panic and try to get into the cockpit.
Oh, come on.
I won't try to get into
come on.
Any cockpit.
Yes, you will.
If you're going to make me late for a business meeting, a connecting flight, or
right, what about that?
You're being negligent. I am not going to panic, but I'm not going to fly with the airline again. What?
You won't fly with the airline if I told you we're overshooting the airport.
No, I will not because you're being negligent.
Right, so I'm not going to tell you. See?
And
there,
got
you.
Gotcha.
Your
responsibility.
Gotcha.
That's your responsibility.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you got her?
If I'm honest and I say we overshot the airport because I was chatting with some woman on a stripper, and not that I'm doing that, but... Then she won't fly with the airport. If I lie to her and not tell her, she will fly with the airline.
And that's probably why you're sitting at home calling, because you're retired or you were probably dismissed from the airline because of your negligence.
What? You don't make any sense. Or what? First of all, you told me that you don't want to know. So if I didn't tell you, then you wouldn't know.
I don't
know,
want to know if
you're
going, if
wait
I'm
a minute.
Going to crash.
Wait a minute. Elaine brought up a good point. What about the plane being late for a connecting flight or for someone who needs to meet a child or someone who is infirmed? What about that?
That's when we tell the flight attendant to say we had headwinds. That speaks to
you. Oh, come on.
Have you ever heard headwinds?
You act like you're talking to a bunch of idiots. I think you're an absolute idiot.
Excuse me.
That's why, again,
you're
not behind the cockpit of a plane.
How many behind the cockpit of a plane? No, you're supposed to sit in the cockpit. Shows what you know.
I don't care. That's why you're not flying one right now. You probably were never a pilot. I don't know. You might have been doing flight simulation on the computer, but... You know, I can't believe
it. Well, ma'am, that's like saying you've never been a passenger. That's like saying you've never been a passenger. That's a ridiculous statement.
I fly regularly, and there's
no airline that would allow someone as incompetent as yourself.
What about this late thing?
How many times have you heard a flight attendant say we've had headwinds? Okay, that's what we say.
So if we're late getting into an airport because you guys were on Facebook or whatever it was that you're saying, you're saying to me that you'll get the flight attendant to say, we had headwinds?
Yeah. Everybody knows what a headwind is. And, again, that woman proved my point. She doesn't want to know the truth. If I told her, she'd be breaking down the door of the cockpit, and we've got, God forgive me, we got United 93 all over again.
Oh, come on. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I'm sorry, but I had to.
Phil Hendry Show, the number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk with Art Griego, retired charter commercial pilot, about the Northwest Airlines flight that was 150 miles past its destination before the pilots of that aircraft recognized their error and turned it around and landed it in Minneapolis-St. Paul. You know what? I forget where the flight was originating from. Bud, do you know?
Well, check with Rance and find out.
I think maybe it was California. I don't know. Art, do you know?
I don't know, Phil, and it's not important. I think the important thing is what that last lady, I'm still thinking about that last lady I just talked to, who really bothered me.
Why?
Well, she wasn't like, you know, like I was saying to you, the passengers don't want to know the truth. And she just clearly said that if I had been honest and I had said that we have overshot our airport because I was on my laptop doing a status update on Facebook or whatever it was the pilot, you know, is going to do, the first thing she's going to do is run to the office of my airline and rat me out and, you know, just rat me out and run me off. And so where is the percentage for a pilot, to be honest?
Well, I don't know, Art. I mean, you're the pilot. I'm the passenger. I asked you the question about overshooting the airport if people have to make a connector.
I told you, headwinds is generally what...
You guys will come on and say, oh, we got some headwinds, so we're running a little late.
Yes.
And what happens when you bank the aircraft and turn it around?
You tell people that you're circling the airport.
And you still got 150 miles to go.
People are not, Phil, I'm telling you. The passengers don't want to know. The less you tell them, the happier they are. You tell them we're circling the airport and you're flying 150 miles, which is generally going to take another hour, well, you know, another half hour, they're going to just, that's fine, whatever. So you're circling the airport for a half hour. When does that not happen in your life?
877-876-PHIL, talking here with Art Griego on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to a phone call now. In Indianapolis, we've got Kevin. Kevin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, first, Art, thank you for your service that you've given our society. But I do have to say this. Pilots are held to a higher standard, and their first responsibility is safety to the individuals that they fly. So based on that, I really believe in your heart of hearts, you're going to go up there, you're going to do the best job you can to bring everybody home safely.
Well, yeah. I'm doing that, though, to make sure they come back to the airline and we get some return business.
Okay, great.
Right. And you got to understand that in my mind,
and I know what they tell us, but I think the most important thing is to get business back with the airline. And if I get on the horn and I tell people about, you know, we overshot the airport because my co-pilot was swallowing his tongue, they ain't going to be flying with us anytime soon. I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Well, okay, whatever your motivation, please allow me to speak. Allow me to speak.
Yeah, I understand, but would you go on the horn and say, you know, the co-pilot just had a heart attack?
Okay.
So that's why we're going to be late.
Art, let me Art, let me speak, okay?
Or would you say...
Let the man say what he wants to say.
Speak, Art. Just please give me some respect here. All that is fine if that's how you want to run your plane. That's fine if that's how you think you should do it. Yes, you need to have the people come back for business, but the premise about I think also the
Wait,
problem.
That's how I roll. You know.
Okay, Art,
great.
Please finish.
I'm just telling you. That's how I roll.
That's how you roll. Great. Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay. So the thing is, we have to have people flying our planes that are thinking about our safety as well. So thinking about bringing us back for more business, fine. But safety is the first premise, and
Naturally. Now, of course, safety, it goes right along with that. You're saying something that is redundant. Of course.
No, I'm not.
But I will tell you something. Yes, you are, because, look, I'll ask you this question. Tell me where I'm wrong. How many airlines have you heard going out of business because one of them burst into flames and crashed into the ocean? None. How many airlines have you heard go out of business because they let everybody in on their personal business and everyone got to stick their nose into how they run their airline, and the next thing you know, nobody wants to fly them? A lot of them.
What? That didn't make any sense.
Have you ever heard of an airline going out of business because a plane flew right into the side of a mountain? No. Have you ever heard of an airline going out of...
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Well, you had wasn't JetBlue one of those that crashed in Florida and then they went on a for safety?
No, ValueJet. ValueJet.
Okay.
But they crashed in a swamp. And
that has
no bearing.
Okay.
That's not an example. They've crashed. They ran out of business because the planes looked like hell. And everybody sat down. It was like a garbage dump in there.
Oh, bull crap. This man's right. ValueJet went out of business in part because of that exploding thing in the cockpit that caused them to crash into the damn swamp.
Well, this gentleman thinks it's funny.
I never heard anybody
laugh about the ValueJet crash.
I think, Art, you had too many Jägermeister.
That's interesting. Well,
Art,
you know what, sir? I'm a pilot. You're not, so, you know.
So you
feel good about that. I feel really good about being a pilot, and that guy's not a pilot.
You don't make any sense when you say how many airlines have got out of business because they crashed.
All kinds of airlines look at Delta Airlines. You name all the major airlines, and and this stuff about Qantas has never had a crash. I don't buy that at all. I bet you if I did enough research, I'd find one Qantas, just one Qantas jet, that was on fire somewhere, and that went, you know, way, way down. Didn't was just on fire because, you know, they were cleaning it, and somebody left that cigarette burning, and there was nobody on it. I mean, had to have been at least one Qantas jet that was on fire and then was in a vertical dive for at least 20,000 feet.
Oh, yeah, sure. Why?
Because it's impossible. It's just impossible. But none of them go out of business, is my point. The ones that stay in business are the ones that can crash an aircraft, it explodes, and they never do find any, you know, survivors. And the next week, you forget all about it, and you're booking your family to Disney World on it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, tell me I'm wrong.
You know what, man? Those are really bad records. Safety record is extremely important for people. Here's Gary. Gary, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego, sir.
All right, I got a couple questions for you. What airline did you fly for?
I flew a charter service.
What did you fly?
Sunflower. It was called Sunflower Charter. And we flew in California. Flew on the coast of California. What's that?
What type of airplane was it?
Well, these were a small private jet.
Okay, so you
were a small private jet, so it's not a...
I was flying it with a guitar.
Right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, you know as well as I do, anytime, especially up here in the Northeast, that's such a small region, as many control towers they have. Anytime you're flying through there, you have to be in contact with a control tower. I want to know how it is. These guys flew
in the northeast. They weren't in the northeast. They weren't in the northeast. They were over the Minnesota and the upper plain states.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Hell, I just turned the radio on. I heard all that.
That changes everything. See?
Yeah. Well,
okay,
what about you? You say you flew
area, but you say, you're within 150 miles of the airport. You have flown through their airspace, and you have to talk to them.
Yes, you do, but we're not talking about any of that. We're talking about whether you should let the passengers know. And I say, no, you don't. I don't care if one of the flight attendants is having a baby in the cockpit because you don't want her out there doing it on the floor in front of everyone. You don't say anything. You know,
oh, what a ridiculous, asinine example.
Really? Well, it happened to me. It happened to me. Thank you.
Okay,
am I going to tell you that? We're going to be late tonight because one of the flight attendants just had twins. you think it's funny, Phil? People will get me fired. And if I'm honest about that stuff, there'll be some old lady that'll come running. She'll go straight for the airline office and rat me out.
Well, to an extent, but you do have to let the people know something.
Oh, why? Why do I got to let them know that my co-pilot swallowed his tongue because he didn't take any epilepsy medicine?
All right, how about this? You take your car to a shop, and you're taking it in to get fixed. Now, this is just someone in control letting someone else know what's going on. You take your car into the shop, you sit there all day, and you expect to be in and out. They give it to you 5 minutes before they close. You want to know what the hell's going on. You got to tell them something.
Yeah, you don't have to tell them the truth. Got it. Bingo. Sink it. 3 points. That's exactly what I'm talking about, my man. And if you tell the people, some of these people like that old lady we were just talking to, Phil, who would run over there to the airline office.
Yeah, I know, and rat you out. And say that you were late because you said that we are late because I was on Facebook and I was doing a status update.
Well, you can laugh if you want. You can make all the jokes. You can get your jollies off. But it's happened. I've been in this business too long not to have seen it happen. And that's how you deal with it.
All right. One final call here. We got Ryan. And Ryan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead.
What's up, man?
How are you, sir?
I would just like to point out, I don't agree with everything this guy says at all, because he's clearly gone off the deep end since I got on the line with you guys. But as someone who flies
deep end
every week, yeah, you went off the deep end talking about strippers or something. And
am I supposed to be honest with that?
Clearly is one of them. Now listen to me. I'm going to agree with you for a second. I'm going to agree with you. So give me a second.
I just want to ask your opinion as a pilot.
I fly.
Am I supposed to be honest with an old lady?
I do not want
to know. Is going to run to
if
the airline
horribly
office.
Wrong. Hey, can you mute him a second?
He wants to hang me up with a noose. He wants to be swinging.
All right, go ahead, sir.
But jeez, I fly a lot. I do not want to know every little trivial thing that goes wrong in the air. Yeah, I don't fly. I'm a passenger. I travel a lot, business. I don't want to know every time something small goes wrong. You know, I want to have a nice clean flight,
land,
go on about my business every time.
Exactly.
However, if it's something like negligence, that should be dealt with. Someone drinking on Facebook, that should not be happening at all. There should be internal investigation, getting rid of
it. Do you want to know about it? You don't want to know about it, though, right?
No, I don't. It should be internal.
Internal
investigation, and they should be getting rid of them. That I do agree with you on that. However,
that's my whole point. Why did it go public? Why did it go public? That's my point. Why did they have to expose these pilots and make them look like schnooks? You know, you're paying me $20 an hour, and I don't make that much money. Not all that many women are attracted to pilots anymore because we don't make that kind of money anymore. So you got to
think about that.
Facebook,
though, that's your own choice
to drum
up business. You know? If they cut the pay, you don't
well,
like
but,
it.
Yeah, but what you say well, you got to get on like Facebook. Yeah, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Ryan, but you say getting on Facebook and drumming up business.
If women are not going out with pilots the way they used to because we don't make the kind of money we used to,
see this guy?
We
got to
get on a face.
He's a pilot. He's flying with hundreds of people. You're flying with like hundreds of people's lives, you know,
in your
plane, okay? And you're worried about Facebook because you don't get paid. Get another job. There's jobs everywhere. You don't like what you're getting paid? Go somewhere else.
It's on autopilot.
But yeah, totally you know, I really want to know that. Are you serious about this, Art? You're on Facebook?
You guys are talking about airline safety. I'm talking about airline safety. But because I don't agree with people, I'm
talking
insane.
About flying drunk, so you're not talking about airline safety.
No, I said I did that when I was younger. When I was
matter.
Younger.
You did it when you were flying. It doesn't matter. You're a pilot and you did it. So clearly, you're not worried about safety.
Yeah.
You're worried about doing whatever you want to do and the money
I
that
was
you're making.
Let me ask you something. You've never been 22
about.
And drunk? You were never 22 years old and you were never at a bachelor party?
I've never been 22 years old and drunk and flying a plane in charge of other people's lives. That's never happened.
No, what were you, 22 years old and driving a forklift? Same difference.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You're going to be
yeah.
You'll
so, this dude's a total joke.
All right, look.
No, it's a joke because you're not even a pilot. And you're telling me my business.
So what's that going to make you? You're pilot. Oh, you're some cool pilot guy. Yeah, you're a good pilot.
Yeah, I am.
You're drunk
I'm cooler
and you're on
than you.
Book and you're chatting with
I'm cooler
strippers.
Than you.
Yeah,
I'm cooler than you.
Yeah,
how many strippers
are.
Chat with you? How many strippers
chat
with you?
I don't need to chat with strippers.
All right.
Where did you take this guy up? Seriously.
Are they really going to chat with a guy working the warehouse over there at Fedco?
All right. Thank you very much, sir. And that was an unnecessary comment there at the end of the discourse there, Art. Work in the warehouse at Fedco.
Look, these people get on here and suddenly, I'm the bad guy. You know why I'm the bad guy? Because the airlines want me to be the bad guy. Because the NTSB wants me to be the bad guy. Because the FAA wants me to be the bad guy. I'm trying to drum up a little business because I don't make the kind of money.
Drumming up business while you're flying the plane.
Let me ask you a question. If I've been on that plane looking at those flight charts and looking at those flight schedules like those other guys, what difference does it make if I was on Facebook or looking at the flight schedules?
Well, in one instance, your figure, you're
yeah, go ahead, Porky. What?
See you later.
Don't you hang up.
That you know, that guy's right. That guy is a joke. Here's a guy that flew as a charter pilot. Why don't we get a commercial pilot?
I try to get a couple of them, but they're too scared to talk about it and everything. It's Omerta.
What do you mean, Omerta?
Yeah, you don't know Omerta. Like, that's the code blue, man. No can do. My lips are sealed.
Oh, bull crap. I bet you I could get one. All right, so that's Art Griego talking about NTSB. And I got a feeling, man, the stories that we dealt with tonight, especially the NTSB, the swine flu, and then, of course, the one that we got to get into more, this cell phone situation with brain tumors, there's going to be a lot more to say about it in the days and in the weeks to come.
Hey, Porky.
Hang up on him.
Hey, Porky, let me ask you.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now time it's time.
It's time for Iron Swine.
It's time for Iron Swine.
Yeah, time for Iron Swine. Iron Swine tonight. He did go down to, you know, where Michael Jackson lived and find out about a pill-popping doctor. Give a pill to a man, kill a man with a pill.
That's right. Tonight on Iron Swine, brought to you by, it's brought to you by, like a medicine, some kind of medicine.
Like NyQuil?
Yeah, brought to you by NyQuil. Tonight on Iron Swine, he's going to go and find out about it.
Yeah, Iron Swine got a call where Iron Swine, you know, he lived at a headquarters. He's not like a regular cop, you know, he don't go to the cop station, but all he do is he sit in his house. He's like an Iron Swine headquarters.
Yeah, it's like a big pen.
Yeah, like a swine pen.
The Iron Swine's sitting there in his own feces, and he's like,
what are you guys talking about now?
What? It's Iron Swine.
What do you mean he's sitting there in his own feces?
That would do it, living up in a, like a swine pen.
But, you know, come on, man, you're wilting my permanent. You're busting the paradigm.
Yeah, okay, man, sorry to interrupt your art.
Yeah, nobody ever interrupts you.
No, not much, just your big mouth.
Now I gotta start all over again.
Don't start all over again, just...
All right, Iron Swine's getting called out from his pig pen because he's gotten a call...
And a case of the pill-popping doctor on Iron Swine.
Iron Swine gets in his car, and he's going to race to the here he is. Here's his car. See, listen. Get in the car.
And I finally have to go out and find a pill popping doctor. No, you have to go on out to Beverly Hill. He got the address someplace. Because he's crippled and he's in a wheelchair, he dropped in his dress book. And now I got to get all these pills. Here, help me with the dress book.
Yeah, excuse me. Could I get my address book, please? Yeah, thank you very much. And now he folds up his wheelchair and gets into the van. And off they go. And they go over to Michael Jackson's house. They go, oh, you're Michael Jackson? He goes, yeah, but I'm dead. They go, how did you die? And he says, doctor.
Yeah, and that's when I swan said, I better go find that doctor, Mr. Jackson. You get back in your coffin.
And he goes, yeah, okay. I mean, you wouldn't ordinarily do that, but that's how we do it on the show. Then they find a doctor and they put him under arrest, and Iron Swine goes back to his pen.
Go back to the swine pen.
Iron Swine, brought to you by, what did we say?
Like Campbell's Soup or something.
Campbell's Soup for like a headache?
Okay, that's fine.
So what's Campbell's Soup?
No, I mean NyQuil.
NyQuil. Iron Swine, brought to you by NyQuil and a pill popper.
Jeez.
You're always butting in.
I only butted in when you said he was sitting in his own feces. That part I had to. I mean, is that your hero? That's your crime fighting hero, huh?
Yeah, man. You name Iron Swine, live in a pen. What do you think he's going to do? You think he's going to sit there in a bathrobe?
What is he? Is he actually a pig?
No, he's Iron Swine. He got his nickname on account of what he did against the swine flu.
Yeah. Don't you read too good? I know where you got the idea. All right. I'm sorry I shouldn't have butt in, okay?
Yeah, you screwed everything up. Now I gotta call Mr. Hall.
Oh, that's... Bud...
No!
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We gotta come up here with the story of the kids. You know, there's a very tragic story there in Philadelphia. Not tragic so much as just sad. Okay.
He's online, too.
Yes, David.
Why don't you just let the retard and his friend do their bit so we can get out of it and move on with the show? What do you gotta butt in for?
I didn't mean to... What is those sirens?
Never mind about the sirens, okay? I had a fender bender. What are you butting in for?
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have butted in.
The kid had a flea gutter. He was on a roll. I was laughing my ass off. Then the minute you busted in with, he's been in their own feces, I ran right into the back end of this model.
Really? Like, what's her name?
What do you mean, what's her name? No, it was a Cadillac, a 56 restored. And I'm standing there, I'm waiting for my insurance guy. I got the cops all over the place. Just let them do what they're doing, okay? And the sooner they get it done, the sooner you're back into the show. You understand? You savvy like a man?
Phil.
Yes, I savvy. Sorry.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, I think these guys were asleep.
Really?
I mean, not just literally, but figuratively.
Do you think
too.
That Dick Cheney is weirdly helping Barack Obama?
And
perhaps?
To me, this is a prime example of the president, both presidents.
This is an official affidavit from the court, and it is saying that
I've
the whole...
I've used the N-word most of my life.
Giant douche nozzle.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. And we want to, first of all, before we say anything else tonight, we want to thank not only the great station KPRC in Houston, Texas, for taking a hold of the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show and making it a part of its daily broadcast schedule, but also we've got some terrific friends in the city of Reno who have picked up the radio show, and those are the guys at KKFT 99.1 FM, Reno. We'll be going on the air if we aren't on the air there already. And in Albany at WGOW 590 AM in Albany, New York. These are a couple of markets where we were, where we held forth for quite a time, bud.
And then what happened was you said a dirty... Well, you
shut up about what I said or didn't say.
How come?
Never mind about that. Nothing happened. Anyway, we thank you guys in Albany and Reno. We're so grateful and so happy to be back on the air with you there. And if you guys want to check out an affiliate list, we have it on our website at philhendryshow.com. And right now, while you're looking at the affiliate list, you can also take a look at the live streaming video of our show, which is on the air each and every night there. Live streaming video as well as the downloadable audio and the live audio feed. I mean, it's a multimedia phantasmagora, baby. And if you ain't got a computer and you don't know what that is, you can listen on the radio. It's as simple as that. You have all kinds of options. A lot of things happening on the political front. The White House hosted a liberal group of media figures. When I say a liberal group of media figures, acknowledged people in the world of the media who are liberal hosts.
Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow were guests at the White House, and Barack Obama was hosting the feat. Joe Biden has rejoined it against Dick Cheney and has said, who cares what Cheney thinks? Fox News was refused an interview with the White House, and so the collected networks declined to take the pool feed. Now, I'll explain all of this to you, but there's this back and forth, this tug-of-war that's going on between the White House and the media, and there is a tug-of-war, obviously, ideologically going on between the two parties, and all of those things we want to discuss with you tonight, and we'll have on the line with us right now from West Virginia a couple of guys who've been regulars on our program before, West Virginia State Legislators Kurt Quede and Guy Barton. Both you guys are Democrats, and you're both President Obama supporters, but you have a great many friends across the aisle. And first of all, thanks for joining us tonight.
Phil, always a pleasure to be on your program.
Now, Phil, the other question I was talking to Kurt about was whether or not this czar situation, people say is unconstitutional. I think we've got to look into that, too.
Because the question of constitutionality, Phil, that door swings both ways, and people trying to bring that up.
Well, you know what I'll do here is let's take it one issue at a time.
Oh, all right.
And let's first of all talk about something that both of you discussed in an interview with one of the local media there in West Virginia, the perception of the Republican Party. Now, I know there's a perception of the Democratic Party. There's perceptions of liberals. There's perceptions of conservatives. But the president today is a Democrat. And both of you said that the perception of the Republican / conservative movement is getting to a point where they've got to do something about it, right?
Well, I'll take that.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Phil, the first thing I want to say is that we both have a great many friends across the aisle, as you say. We've got conservative friends. We have Republican friends. And many of them we have served in the West Virginia State Legislature for a great time. But the perception is exactly as you say. The perception of the conservative Tea Party and the perception of the Republican Party has gotten so negative now, they've got to shut it down. And I think they've got to shut it down as quick as they can.
I feel like they've got to shut it down, and from the standpoint of that it's not doing them any good anymore. I'm not saying that it wasn't doing some good, but we feel they've got to shut it down as quickly as they can.
And by shut it down, I mean they've got to today shut it down, and whatever connections they have.
Well, what are you saying, shut it down? You're not talking about the party, right?
Oh, no, we're not talking about the party. We're talking about the Tea Party.
Yeah, we're talking about the Tea Party Express and all of the conservative, that dynamo, that media dynamo that the conservatives have going for them that they thought was so positive is actually turning against them. And I think that's why you've got to talk to someone who's real straight about that and say, shut it down today.
And by shutting it down.
When you say shut it down, you're saying what? You're saying stop the Tea Parties?
Absolutely, got to stop the Tea Party because now everybody thinks they're so crazy, you know.
Well, let me be as clear as I can, Phil. This is Kurt. The perception now is that the Tea Party is a racist group of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know it's not. You know it's not. I'm pretty sure, Guy, you wouldn't say they are, are you?
Well, I know a great many people in the Tea Party, and they're good people. But the perception now, they're nothing but, what you call a lot of these rednecks.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It is a perception that they are redneck, they are racist, they are intolerant of minority and all the other group of people that I'm sure they are trying to embrace and bring into their party or their movement, if you will.
And so the only thing to do now, the damage been done, they got to shut down.
Well, see, I was going to ask you that question. So what do you mean they got to shut it down so people think they're racist? I mean, are you saying that is a widespread perception?
Oh, without question, a widespread perception. Now, when I talk to people, you hear people say, well, the Tea Party, these people are all racist, cracker, and redneck. And they get very nervous about that.
And you know, Phil, it's been said by people, very moderate people, too, and John McCain, and you heard Thaddeus McCarter is a very fine young man. I think he'd make a very great legislator someday if he become a Democrat, you know.
Yeah, it's the only thing wrong with that. McCarter, a Republican.
Yeah, but they've all said that these people are kook. He has used terms like they're kooky. He has used terms like they're way, way out there, you know. And I don't think it has done the Republican Party any good.
Yeah, but that's a far cry from saying that the perception is that the Tea Party people and...
Well, not just Tea Party, but the conservative side of the Republican Party. The Tea Party, I think, more conservative side of the Republican Party. Now, the people are looking at them like they're kooky, you know, when they're going after this woman. She's a pro-choice candidate. They want to support her. Now, you got to ask yourself whether these people know what they're doing.
Yeah, and that's another good point, I think, that Guy Megan. They're not just kooky. They're not just racist. And they hate blacks, and they hate Obama on account of he's black, you know, which I know that's not true, but that's what people think. Now everyone thinks they are mentally unstable. You see, like they don't have, you know, they got a screw loose or something on that.
Because of their support for this, so this woman, Scafalavo or whatever it is?
Yeah, it's Scafalavo, the lady in upstate New York.
Now, this is a candidate that Newt Gingrich has supported, has thrown his support behind. It's a candidate that Thad McCotter has thrown his support behind. And as we said the other night on the show, it's also a candidate that, surprisingly, Bertha Lewis of Acorn has thrown her support behind.
Well, that's what I mean. It is crazy. People think they're crazy. They think that they have lost, like I said, to put it the most colloquial way I can, they got a screw loose. That they are mentally unfit to address the problems of this country, that they may have a mental disease of some kind.
And that they are racist, you know, and they're a bunch of, it's like a rolling cracker barrel, you know, is what we call that, a rolling cracker barrel. And
well, what do you mean a rolling cracker barrel?
Well, the perception is this Tea Party go from town to town like a circus, like a three-ring circus. And they pull into town and they pull out put the tent up, you know, and they put up all the, everything that they want to do and tell people about the Tea Party Express or whatever they call it. Well, the whole thing comes across like a kooky, like a nut, like some kind of a nut caravan, you know.
Like a cavalcade of nuts.
Like a cavalcade of nuts, yeah. And
well, like a cavalcade of nuts. All right, let's talk about what this perception is.
Well, that's just a manner of speaking, you know.
No, I know that, but let's talk about... Who has this perception that the Tea Party people and the conservative people are racist and mentally unstable?
Well, I mean, the country does. When a country look at them, and
I don't. You say the whole country?
Oh, I think the whole country does. Yeah.
Well, look at all of the people that you see on television.
Well, those are all Fox News viewers. That's not the whole country. Those people are all sort of in bed with this mentality now. Maybe they aren't bothered by the racist image that these groups have. And maybe not bothered by how mentally unstable they look.
I don't think the mentally unstable part is all that bad. I think it's when you talk about how racist they are, you know.
But they're not racist.
No, I know they're not racist. No one, that it has any sense that they're racist.
But the perception of the country of America is that the Tea Party is a bunch of mentally unstable racist, race-baiting, black-hating, Mexican-hating, anybody that got a, you know, any kind of ethnic heritage, they don't want them around, no way, no how. You know, you get back, you know.
Yeah, get back if you're black, you know, there's that song. For the Tea Party people to survive, they got to shut this thing down now, they got to regroup.
Yeah, they've got to regroup, and they've got to do some serious purging. As you heard that man say, purge out a lot of these racists, these crackers and everything else like that.
But if they're not really racist, and they're not really rednecky, racist, kooky, crazy people, like you said, who are they going to purge out?
Well, I think they've got to get some of these people that don't know how to keep their mouth shut, you know, or with those signs. They've got to get them out of there. They've got to shut the whole thing down and re-examine the relationship with the media, especially this guy, this Glenn Hannity,
Glenn Beck?
Yeah, Glenn Beck or Lou Hannity. I forget what the man's name.
Lou Hannity.
Sean Hannity is the other guy.
Yeah, and rethink their relationship with him.
All right, I'm going to take a break here and take the opportunity here to at least play one little clip. This is Keith Olbermann. He was talking with Rachel Maddow, and this was, I guess, just before his show or just after his show or something. They're doing a little bit of a cross plug, and here he is talking about the two of them meeting in the White House. with President Obama, talking to him, and this liberal media sit down.
Karl Rove is now saying, if we did anything like that, people would go nuts.
People talk about post-traumatic stress disorder in politics. Do you ever feel like they're walking examples of this? Like they have forgotten what they did half the time while in the White House? This is exactly what they did. They had, not only did they have these meetings, but as you pointed out correctly, they were much more doctrinaire and much more politically, there were eligibles and ineligibles, and nobody ever crossed from one to the other. Pot and kettle, and it is stunning. It's just confounding and stupid and silly, and it just looks like another thing that they want to wring their hands about as loudly and as publicly as possible to scare people for no purpose whatsoever.
You're saying that they're very angry for a reason?
Oh, you can hear how angry a lot of liberals are. I'm not angry. I know they don't mean any wrong, you know, but
The Tea Party got everybody thinking they're racist and they hate the Ku Klux Klan, everything, you know.
And you hear how angry there, Mr. That was Keith or Rachel Maddow talking about that.
Well, they're angry because those guys are on the... I don't know why they're angry, but... All right, we have Kurt Quidi and Guy Barton with us. They are from the West Virginia State Legislature talking about the perception is so negative now of the conservative movement and the Republican movement in general in the country that the tax Tea Party thing needs to be shut down, that they need to purge their membership of what they call extremists who make it appear as if the whole organization is racist and sociopathic. And it is their opinion, at least among the people they talk to, that the perception of the country now is the Tea Party people and the conservative movement in general is a racist, psychopathic movement. Now, that sounds pretty extreme to me. And they are dismissing what I see every day on television, people who actually support it. But then again, that is Fox Television. Look, we'll take a break. We'll be back with your phone calls and with Kurt Quidi and Guy Barton. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And this is the groundbreaking, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The world-famous... Yeah. Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, yeah.
Time now for Life Imitates Phil.
That was very sensitive of you.
Well, I got to get moving here, okay? Life Imitates Phil. Today, in an online chat, Washington Post reporter Ben Pershing was asked why birthers and other conspiracy theorists, such as those claiming that former top Clinton White House aide Vince Foster was murdered, get play on the real media, while others, such as the 9/11 truthers, don't. Whatever, okay? This is from Think Progress. Ben Pershing said, perhaps there is an actual videotape of the planes hitting the World Trade Center that billions of people around the world have seen, while there is no videotape of Obama being born in Hawaii or Vince Foster committing suicide. That's exactly what Larry Grover said on our show last night, so we claim Ben Pershing, you listened to our show last night, you repeated your chat, you thief.
This has been Life Imitates Phil.
Thank you. So we're calling you out, you thieving, no-good, stinking...
Jew.
Don't say... We're joking about that, Ben. We're just kidding.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here. Kurt Quidi and Guy Barton from the West Virginia State Legislature join us. A couple of very nice guys. They're both committed Democrats and supporters of President Obama. But you guys are saying you are not opposed to the teabagger people per se. You're trying to say there's a perception, but I want you to give me an example of why there's a perception that the Tea Party people are racist or the Tea Party people are sociopathic.
If I could, there's a lady here that brought the Tea Party through Charleston, West Virginia, which is, we in. And a little woman was photographing that local paper, dancing with a bone in her nose. And
you say a bone in her nose?
Well, yeah, this lady had a bone in her nose, and she was doing and she was spinning a parasol over her head and saying, Obamacare, Obamacare, you know, let's all do it. And I think that's wrong.
Well, I would call that blatantly racist.
I don't think it's race. I think people are having fun. And I understand that people are having fun with it.
When you throw a woman's there with a bone in her nose, was she a white woman?
I don't know. She might. Well, that's the other thing. She had to be a white. You don't ever see any black people at these things. And that's why people think it is. That's another problem they had. They ain't got no black people. They can't attract no black people because it frightens a lot of black. They hang with that many white who are not, I guess, the coolest, the hippest people in the room, you know, and I don't mean anything by that.
But if you see a lot of the people with a bone in their nose or doing a fright wig, they sold out of these fright wigs the day before the Tea Party coming to town. And I don't know if...
What do you mean they sold out of fright wigs?
They had a run before the Tea Party coming to town of people buying this Don King wig.
Okay, 877...
That, again, Phil, I know everybody, people are just trying to have some fun, but the perception is that these people are no-count, race-hating, race-baiting people, you know, and they got to shut this thing down and get it squared away.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I have not heard any of those comments, or I have not seen any of those news stories. Let's go to a phone call. We have Alan in Louisville, Kentucky. Alan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What can we do for you, Alan?
Well...
Yes, sir.
Listening to the radio here in Louisville, and heard your two guests, and really, I don't know where they're getting their criteria from. They must be watching MSNBC or something like that, because I don't see that the consensus of the country is that the Republican Party is a bunch of fools that don't know what they're doing. They're fighting for the little men now. No, the Tea Party isn't what it started out to be. Its basis was credible, and now it's turned into something else. But I don't think it's changed.
Well, that's my point exactly. I think this man makes a good point. You know, it started out at well-meaning. We know a lot of people are good people. But what they do, sir, they allow some lady go, what do you say about a group of people allow a woman show up with a fright wig and a bone in her nose and saying Obamacare, you know. And she looked like something from
a jungle movie.
Yeah, like out of a jungle movie or something like that.
Well, maybe it was just one of those isolated instances.
No, we've had reports of this all over the country. You know, people dressed up as Uncle Ben. And I don't find that to be amusing. And I know the people mean well.
Maybe it's just the fact that there's a few kooks.
Yeah, but you see, the perception across the country now is that a bunch of people think Watermelon Joke is funny. And the whole point, like this man just said, the whole point of Tea Party is lost on people.
Is the gentleman there? I think we lost Curtin Guy.
I'm still here.
Is our caller there? Yes, sir. Go ahead. Your comment.
Okay. The Tea Party lost.
Do we have the guys back?
I think they did, too.
No, we lost you guys, okay? So hold on. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay, yes, the Tea Party lost its sight, but I don't see that that's changed the perception of the Republican Party. I mean, why don't you go ask the constituents of your Republican friends how they feel about their representative?
I mean, like everybody now is kind of looking at the Republican Party through this Tea Party pair of eyeglasses, and they think they lost their minds, you know, and I think they got to try to get their minds back, that's all.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I appreciate your phone call, sir. We'll be back with more of your phone calls at 877-876-PHIL as we talk here about the Tea Party and the Republican Party. Do people think they're racist? Crazy.
Phil Hendry.
Uh-huh.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I need to stop there.
Welcome back to the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, two good men from West Virginia. You guys are Democrats, liberals. You're supporters of Barack Obama, and I like talking to you guys because you're fair-minded. You have a lot of Republican friends, a lot of conservative friends.
Well, we do, Phil, but I think it bears repeating that they're doing so much damage to their cause, the Republican Party cause, the conservative cause with their Tea Party.
Well, you guys mentioned racism as being, they're perceived as racist.
In some instances, I'm sure they've got a lot of racism, but you can't sit and eat fried chicken like you see them. If you look on the television, they had a Tea Party here, and I mentioned it with Charleston. We went down to one in Baltimore and another one in Washington, D.C. And here are Caucasians sitting around a picnic table with a fried chicken. And they're busting out the watermelon, and they're breaking down corn on a cob, you know.
Yeah, they'll bust that corn on the cob down. Now, of all the fast food we have in the Charleston, West Virginia area, we've got a lot. You ask yourself the question.
What? Really, will you? Not to interrupt you, I'm sorry, Kurt.
Go ahead.
Why do a group of Caucasians sit around and gnawing on a chicken leg? like they are taking a break from, you know, cleaning out this the sump, you know. So my question...
Are you telling me that these people are eating fried chicken as a way of mocking President Obama?
Well, that's the perception again. You can't, you know, they got no control over these Tea Party. They got no control over these nuts. And so it has now begun to infect the entire Republican Party and the conservative movement to the point where the perception now around the country... You understand? Again, I want to underline the word. The perception around the country of these Tea Party people have lost their minds.
All right, well, we do have information here. The Tea Party Express number 2, Countdown to Judgment Day...
Oh, Lord.
...is starting on Sunday, and they're going to be starting in San Diego.
That's out on the West Coast where you are, right?
Yes, that's just down the road from us in San Diego.
Well, I think that they, if they know what's good for them, they're going to shut this down. They're going to shut it down good, and they're going to keep it shut down until they weed out all these chicken eaters and everybody trying to make a big joke out of the whole thing. Otherwise, they're going to look like a horse's ass, like you just say.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, a number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to a phone call. We have Jim in Washington, D.C. Jim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind tonight, sir?
You, Phil, good evening to you. This is...
Yes, sir.
Time to my that I've called in. I've listened to your show several times. I find you quite refreshing, by the way. I don't agree with you all the
Thank
time,
you.
But you're quite fair-minded and refreshing.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I
second that, by the way.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I was saying, sir, that I second your opinion. We've been good friends with Phil for a long time. He's a wonderful man.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. You're sure. All right, let me get down to the brass tacks. The distinguished gentlemen that are commenting, I would really be interested. I don't really understand where they're coming from. On the one hand, they say, I mean, I understand what they're saying about the racism and rednecks and all this, but I don't understand if they're trying to tell me as a listener on your station that it is the perception of everyone in the United States, or is it their personal feelings?
Overriding to say, yeah, the perception of the people, the common man.
Hold on.
I would say the common man, you know, all the talk radio people, all that.
Well, let the gentleman finish. Go ahead, Jim.
But the reason I want to say that is because sometimes I hear them, you know, I don't want to say what's in their mind. They, you know, they have their thing, but when I hear them kind of hiding behind the expression of it, the perception. And then, Phil, I've heard you try to have them clarify that a couple times, and I haven't heard them do it. I would be interested in wanting to know, how they personally feel about the Tea Parties, what they personally think of these people who are at the Tea Parties. Having said that, I'll shut up because I want to hear the comment, but I am a conservative. I am open to many liberal viewpoints. However, I am, sir, not only not a redneck and not a racist.
Yeah, you give me another double gobble, too. Yeah, I'm going to go get one.
I'm not any of that, and I have nothing.
Kurt, do you want to feel that?
I understand the gentleman how he feels. I'm just trying to be the messenger here, and I'm sorry that I've got a bad message. You know,
don't kill
the messenger.
I would like to hear your opinion.
I'm saying say that again, sir. I didn't quite hear you. What?
Your personal opinion, because that would affect very much whether or not I'm swayed by your opinion or not.
You know, all I am, I'm just a state legislator here in West Virginia. My personal opinion wouldn't matter a drop of rain at the end of the day.
I say that is I can find you a lot of people, some people on the left, that actually believe that 9/11 was a conspiracy from the Bush administration. And yet that's not the majority of the country.
I'm just saying what the folks out there are thinking. They're thinking these Tea Party people are some kind of new age suburban Ku Klan, you know. That's what they're thinking. I don't know that that's true or not. I think when you allow people to come out and gnawing on a chicken leg and everything like that, it looked to them.
Looked
to them like a racism, you know.
People that do that are ignorant, and you have ignorant people both sides of the aisle, sir.
That doesn't make any difference now, because the Tea Party, they just stunk it all out. You know, they're stinking all out. What they're doing is they're stinking out your party.
This gentleman's saying there's people stinking out the Democratic Party.
Not like the Tea Party. This Tea Party is on TV every day. What's that?
I personally believe that the Republican Party does need some reform, but I'm actually, I'm actually very proud of the fact that, at least from my perspective, that the Americans who are not crazy
inside
and all this have formed together. To form
a lot of people at Tea Party will make a stop and get that side of collard green. Now, why do they do that? Because they want to make sure that when a TV camera on them, they're gobbling down a collard green like they're, out in the field, and they're waiting for the truck to come by and pick them up at 5 o'clock, you know.
Yeah, that's to me.
And that's the behavior,
all right, I understand.
That kind of
exactly.
behavior, I would strongly condemn right. that kind of behavior, sir.
Jim, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Joyce in Houston. Joyce, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What can we do for you?
Yes, first, let me say that I am a black senior citizen grandmother that's a few years
God bless you.
Shy
God bless
of 80
you,
years old. And this, what I'm hearing tonight is complete insanity. And this mess about there are no blacks in the Republican Party, it's not the Republicans' fault that blacks are not in the Republican Party.
Oh, ma'am, I didn't say not in the Republican Party. I said at the Tea Party of, when they come out
okay.
at
all
the Caucasians
something.
Out there.
Yeah, a lot of Caucasians on the Tea Party.
Let me tell you something. You're mentioning some few signs that that's not right, but that's what the media picks up. They don't pick up on those nice signs out there. See, because I am out there. I am a black woman. And let me tell you something. The Democrat Party don't give a damn about black folks. They care about the black vote.
Oh, dear. Now, that's not fair, dear. We have always been there.
Look
at all them programs we start.
Hey, hold on, gentlemen, because I think Joyce wants to say something.
The Democrat Party has done a good job in keeping my people 4D'd. Not OD, 4D, dumb, dependent, depressed, and Democrat. And you cannot tell me that the Republican Party is the cause of more blacks are in the Democrat Party. 99% of blacks voted for Obama. You can't get 99% of us to say that the sky is blue. So it is something wrong with us.
Well, Phil, I don't know where Mr. Henry, why are you laughing at that?
I think the lady's funny.
Because I have lived next door to blacks ever since I come to Texas. And let me tell you something.
Well, you don't want to sit down at a tea party, everybody eating collard greens. They made a special trip because they know the Fox TV is going to have a camera on them.
That stuff doesn't
even come on.
Because I am okay with who
they
I
did.
Am.
They took a side trip.
What do you guys mean they took us?
With who I am. The Democrat Party don't give a damn about blacks. Now, let me tell you this.
Now, you know
they
that's
have,
not true. I mean, we have all kind of Caucasians.
They have kept my people on the plantation all these years voting Democrat. And you come into any black community and look at our rundown community. Drug houses
and Keith Olbermann said Michael Steele is a self-hating black man.
Wait, hold on. All right, Joyce, hold on. Joyce, hold just for a second, dear. You said something, Kurt, that I didn't like. And
what I say?
You said that Keith Olbermann called Michael Steele a self-hating black man, and I heard him say that, and that's an ignorant thing to say.
Yeah, but Keith Olbermann is a good, I shouldn't say this, he's a Jewish man, so he know.
What do you mean he knows that Mike, what does that mean he knows?
He's just as radical as what you were saying that you saw that stood at the Tea Party. They do not. The Democrat Party don't care nothing about us. And let me tell you, I left the Democrat Party, I guess, 40 years ago because all they do is use us for a vote.
May I ask a question now?
And we don't see them anymore until it's
time
to
black
vote
lady?
For them again. And
what
here they come to the rundown black communities. And you
I wonder if this lady's a black woman.
She's a black woman. She said she's a black woman.
I thought you were a man. I'm sorry.
40 years ago.
Well, dear, listen to her.
You're on fire.
And once they get
our
vote, we vote for them. We don't see them anymore.
Back up, flammable.
Time to vote for them again.
Flammable load ahead.
Okay, Joyce. Thank you, Joyce.
That's your perception. That's not the world.
You got the Caucasians in the Democratic Party all wrong. These Democratic Caucasians are good for the black people. And
what are you talking about, the Democratic Caucasians?
What do you mean good? Have you ever?
I hope you all are having a good time. We're trying to help the black people, and now you're laughing.
And
Keith Olbermann.
And what, you're the guys that said that Keith Olbermann was a nice Jewish boy, so he ought to know. Joyce, thank you so much for your call. I'd have to, you know, you're on fire, girl, and thank you. And that was a very good series of comments, I think, from Joyce.
You know, Phil, you must enjoy when you get a African American come on here and make me look like a horse's ass. I'm a Democrat. I'm not no Republican. She come on. She's black, and she's ripping into me like I'm a plate of beans and rice. And she's saying all this. I said the Caucasians in the Democratic Party good people, and she laughs.
Now, so what? You guys are talking about the Caucasians in the Republican Party eating fried chicken.
They're eating fried chicken at a tea party to make that lady look bad. And meanwhile, we couple Caucasians, we care, and she laughing at us. Now, that lady laughs. She laughs loud, she laughs hard, and laughs long.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to line 6, because we do have a gentleman who is an actual state's representative like yourselves in New Hampshire, I believe. It's Al. Al, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Yeah, hi, Phil. This is Representative Al Baldassare from Londonderry, New Hampshire. Al,
yes, sir. Nice
Phil,
to talk to you.
I was on my way from a dinner in Boston, and I was disgusted what I just heard on the radio from them two state reps from West Virginia. Those are Americans. First of all, you just had a hero on the phone, the American that just spoke. The Democratic Party continue to go with the black, with the racist. Obama is half white and half black, just like some of my nephews and nieces. They're Americans.
Oh, I know that, yeah. Okay. We try to get everybody around here to understand that. We got a few whites to vote, you know.
Now, yeah, otherwise they didn't want to vote for them.
Them two state representatives, I've been to tea parties in Boston. I've been to them here in New Hampshire and over in Vermont. What I see is Americans, black, white, Mexican, Spanish, women, all races, Americans that are out there. They're calling them nuts, but the reason is because their message is loud and clear. Enough is enough. The Democrats have taken the minorities and left them in the gutter. And
I know that. I know. But how come they put on a fright wig and all of this? See?
Well,
and
that's
why,
not right. I tell you right.
And the Fox TV, they had that on there.
Show me the clip on that there.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you right now, it's probably one of them Democrats there that are probably getting in there and making it look worse than it is.
So you think it's like a ringer or something, Al? These guys are sticking them in there, huh?
That is slander. That's libel. Well, that's libel.
Let me tell you this, state representative.
I've seen a white man eat chicken. It's clear as I'm looking at you right now.
You know, I'm Italian and I eat chicken. Does that mean I'm a racist?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I think it's a bad thing to do on a tea party when you know Obama. I mean, you got a black president, all these whites sitting around gnawing on chicken, making a special trip for collard green, you know, and...
Oh, you guys are reading stuff into stuff that doesn't even mean anything.
That's right.
Everybody takes chicken to a picnic.
When's the last time you picked?
I was in the Marines and ate the food there. Does that mean I'm a racist?
I was a Marine, too. You know, we had to eat anything they served us. Sometimes they served us slop just to get a big laugh out of us, you know.
All right.
No, I don't think a racist in the Marine Corps. I think they were just being cruel and want to torture us, you know. But now I see a white man eat collard green. I say, now, he ain't in the Marine, so he's got to be some kind of a racist sitting there gnawing on that collard green like he thinks he Uncle Ben's stepson, you know.
Okay.
You know, I have nieces and nephews in my family, and I'm Italian.
Uh-huh.
That are black and Puerto Rican. They're Americans. This every word out of the Democrats' mouth is always about racism. They are the ones that continue to bring this up, and I feel bad for the Americans there on the way they're treated by the Democrat Party. You continue.
Well, you did
to
hear, gentlemen.
Them
yeah.
Give them, give them. Okay.
Well, now hold on a minute. You know that we have done very good. We've tried to help the black man up, but what are you doing now? The black man are kicking us right in the groin. He don't care if it swells up the size of.
I don't want you using that term, if you don't mind.
What did I say?
You said they're kicking them right in the you-know-what, and I don't want to...
Well, what are black people now turning on us? They're turning on us like a pack of wild dogs, you know? It's like you're walking through the woods, and you have
Why
a hunk
Why do you
got
to go with black
it's
people?
The...
Why do you have to...
What is it? Yeah.
They're Americans. Americans stand up for what's right.
Oh, yeah. Now, yeah, you're right about that, yeah.
Yeah, well, it slipped my mind. That didn't slip my mind, but what I'm saying...
It slipped your mind. Listen, Al, thanks so much for your call. I got to take a break here. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Very good call. Thank you, sir, and thank you for your service to the great state of New Hampshire. 877-876, what are you looking at?
What are you going to kiss the guy's butt for?
What guy's butt?
Yeah, you're talking about the great state of New Hampshire, man. How do you know it's a great state?
I said the Granite State.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't say great.
Jeez.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Kirk Queedy and Guy Barton in just a moment.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL with Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy from the State House in West Virginia as we talk about the Tea Party, which is going to be launching part two, phase two of the Tea Party. The Tax Tea Party is launching on Sunday. They're in San Diego, and both of you guys have said it needs to be shut down because of the racism. We're going to get to, because not of racism, you say there's a perception there of racism, which is hurting the Tea Party movement. I want to get to some calls.
Well, Phil, I just one thing. You and your callers have been having some fun here tonight. I know misrepresented everything that the guy and I are trying to say.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, you have. But I know Guy had something to say. Tell Phil what you said to me in the break.
Well, I thought the only thing I said, Phil, was if I had... I love fried chicken, too. There's no question I love fried chicken. But if I had fried chicken, I'd have the common decency and the common courtesy as a Caucasian. I'd eat it in the privacy of my own, you know, within the house. I'd have decency to do that. But not the flaunting it out on a tea party, make it look like a racism.
All right, let's go to a phone call. I don't know. Here's Bobby in Mobile, Alabama. Bobby, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. And what is on your mind, sir?
Are these guys really trying to say that what you eat makes you a racist or not?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm saying the perception, sir. I'm trying to say to you the perception is out there among rank-and-file American, the Tea Party people, when they stick a corn cob in their mouth or, you know, they shove a wedge of pie in their face, people think they're mocking a black people. They're mocking a Obama Sunday night dinner, you know.
When they put a wedge of pie in their... Yeah, go ahead, Bobby.
Man, I'm from down here in Mobile. That's just what we eat. I mean, that's what we eat in the South. We like fried chicken, well, college game, biscuits cooked in fatback. I mean, that's just good old food. I mean, you're not trying to make fun of somebody just for eating it.
No, most people don't know that. You know, most people think any white, any Caucasian, you know what I mean by the Caucasoid, he's going to come up, put a wedge of pie in his face, and you see a Caucasian with a wedge of pie hanging out of his face, they're going to say, now look at that man. I bet you're going to go out and try to keep a man from using a bathroom.
And are you kidding me?
The American people are that ignorant.
I got to tell you, you know, I wanted to believe that, too. I was just like you, Bobby, at one time in my life. I had all kinds of ideals and high hopes for people. And I said, you know, people just can't be that ignorant. They cannot be that without a soul, you know, soulless. And then I heard a man say, I saw a Caucasian with a wedge of pie stuck in his face with a big bright eyes on him. And he said, man, that man, he looked like he's just fixing to keep somebody from riding a bus.
Yeah, that'll happen, you know.
And, are you kidding me? What do you mean by a Caucasian with a wedge of pie hanging out of his face?
I'm talking about if you get like a snapshot of a man, he's looking up and he's surprised, he sees you, and both hands just has the wedge of pie in his face, not even use a fork.
Okay, I've never seen that.
Are you trying to say it was racist for my buddy to bring a watermelon to work and that we were making fun of the black guy that works with us? I mean...
I think. Are you tell me, are you Caucasoids got together and hunkered down on a watermelon? You did, and the black man right there. Oh man, you got more guts than me.
I'd love to be able to do that.
All right, listen. Thank you so much. And you know what? You guys need to rethink something. Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry.